Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 18, Character of One in Ecstatic Love. Rupa Goswami next describes the characteristics of a person who has actually developed his or her ecstatic love for Krishna. And the characteristics are as follows. Number 1. He or she is always anxious to utilize one's time in the devotional service of the Lord. One does not like to be idle. He or she wants service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. Number 2. He or she is always reserved and perseverant. Number 3. He or she is always detached from all material attraction. Number 4. He or she does not long for any material respect in return for one's activities. Number 5. One is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon one. Number 6. He or she is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. 7. One is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. 8. He or she is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And number 9. One is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, such as Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwaraka. Utilization of time. An unalloyed devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna is always engaging his or her words in reciting prayers to the Lord. Within the mind, one is always thinking of Krishna, and with one's body, he or she either offers obeisances by bowing down before the deity or engages in some other service. And during these ecstatic activities, one sometimes sheds tears. In this way, one's whole life is engaged in the service of the Lord, with not a moment wasted on any other engagement. Perseverance. When a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he or she is called reserved and perseverant. An example of this perseverance and reservation is found in the behavior of King Parikshit, as described in the first canto, 19th chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There the king says to all the sages present before him at the time of his death, Tang mo payatam pratiyantu vipra ganga cha devi drita chittam ishe dvijo pashrista kuhakasta takshakova the Shattu Alangayata Vishnu Gaha. O my dear Brahmanas, you should always accept me as your surrendered servant. I have come to this bank of the Ganges just to devote my heart and soul unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So please bless me, that Mother Ganges may also be pleased with me. Let the curse of the Brahmana's son fall upon me. I do not mind. I only request that at the last moment of my life, all of you will kindly chant the holy name of Vishnu so that I may realize his transcendental qualities. And so, this example of Maharaj Parikshit's behavior, his remaining patient even at the last point of his life, his undisturbed condition of mind is an example of reservation. And this is one of the characteristics of a devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna. Detachment. The senses are always desiring sense enjoyment. But when a devotee develops transcendental love for Krishna, his or her senses are no longer attracted by material desires. This state of mind is called detachment. And there is a nice example of this detachment in connection with the character of King Bharata. In the 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse 43 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Yo dusya jandara sutan sukrid rajang riddhi sprisha jahau yuvaiva malabad uta mashloka lalasa. Emperor Bharata was so attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Krishna that even in his youthful life he gave up all kinds of attachment to family, children, friends, kingdom, etc., as though they were untouchable stools. So Emperor Bharata provides a typical example of detachment. He had everything enjoyable within the material world, but he left it. So this means that detachment does not mean artificially keeping oneself aloof and apart from the allurements of attachment. For even in the presence of such allurements, if one can remain unattracted by material attachments, then one is called detached. In the beginning, of course, a neophyte devotee must try to keep him or herself apart from all kinds of alluring attachments. But the real position of a mature devotee is that even in the presence of all allurements, one is not at all attracted. This is the actual criterion of detachment, pridelessness. When a devotee, in spite of possessing all the qualities of pure realization, but is not proud of his or her position, one is called prideless. In the Padma Purana it is stated that King Bhagirath was the emperor above all other kings, and yet he developed such ecstatic love for Krishna that he became a mendicant and went out begging even to the homes of his political enemies and untouchables. He was so humble that he was respectfully bowing down before them. And there are many similar instances in the history of India. Even very recently, about 200 years ago or less, one big landlord known as Lal Babu, a Calcutta landholder, became a Vaishnava and lived in Vrindavan. He was also begging from door to door, even at the homes of his political enemies. Begging involves being ready to be insulted by persons to whose home one has come. That is natural. But one has to tolerate such insults for the sake of Krishna. The devotee of Krishna can accept any position in the service of Krishna. Great hope. The strong conviction that one will certainly receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called in Sanskrit ashabandha. Ashabandha means to continue to think, because I am trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service, I am sure that I will go back to Godhead, back to home. In this connection, one prayer by Rupa Goswami is sufficient to exemplify this hopefulness. I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting. And the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing Krishna's lotus feet in one's heart, is also lacking in me. And as far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I do not see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, I am not even born of a nice family. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopi Jana Vallabha, maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. The purport of this is that under this heading of Asha Bandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or other one will be able to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Eagerness for achieving the desired success. When one is sufficiently eager to achieve success in devotional service, that eagerness is called samutkanta. This means complete eagerness. Actually, this eagerness is the price for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. Everything has some value, and one has to pay the value before obtaining or possessing it. It is stated in the Vedic literature that to purchase the most valuable thing, Krishna consciousness, one has to develop intense eagerness for achieving success. This intense eagerness is very nicely expressed by Bilva Mangala Thakur in his book Krishna Karnamrita. Oh, I am eagerly waiting to see that boy of Vrindavan, that boy whose bodily beauty is captivating the whole universe, whose eyes are always bound by black eyebrows and are expanded like lotus petals, that boy who is always eagerly glancing over his devotees and therefore moving slightly here and there, that boy whose eyes are always moist, whose lips are colored like copper, and through those lips there comes a sound vibration which drives one madder than a mad elephant. Oh, I want so much to see that boy in Vrindavan. Attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord. In the same Krishna Karnamrita, there is another statement about the chanting of Srimati Radharani. It is said by one of her associates, O Lord Govinda, that girl who was the daughter of King Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears, and anxiously she is chanting your holy name, Krishna, Krishna. Eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities. Attachment for chanting the glories of the Lord is also expressed in Krishna Karnamrita as follows. Oh, what shall I do for Krishna? Krishna, who is pleasing beyond all pleasurable conceptions. Krishna, who is naughtier than all other restless boys. The very idea of Krishna's beautiful activities is attracting my heart, and I do not know what I can do. Attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. In the book Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, there is the following statement about Vrindavan. In this place, the son of Maharaj Nanda used to live with his father, who was the king of all cowherder men. In this place, Lord Krishna broke the cart in which the Shakata Asura demon was concealed. And at this place, Damodara, who can cut the knot of our material existence, was tied up by his mother, Yashoda. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna resides in the district of Mathura or Vrindavan and visits all the places where Krishna's pastimes were performed. At these sacred places, Krishna displayed his childhood activities with the other cowherder boys and his mother, Yashoda. The system of circumambulating all these places is still current among devotees of Lord Krishna, and those coming to Mathura and Vrindavan always feel transcendental pleasure. Actually, if someone goes to Vrindavan, he or she will immediately feel separation from Krishna, who performed such nice activities when he was present there. Such attraction for remembering Krishna's activities is known as attachment for Krishna. There are impersonalist philosophers and mystics, however, who, by a show of devotional service, want ultimately to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord. And they sometimes try to imitate a pure devotee's sentiment for visiting the holy places where Krishna had his pastimes. But they simply have a view for salvation, and so their activities cannot be considered attachment. It is said by Rupa Goswami that the attachment exhibited by pure devotees for Krishna cannot possibly be perfected in the hearts of the karmis or fruitive workers or the mental speculators, because such attachment in pure Krishna consciousness is very rare and not possible to achieve even for many liberated persons. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Liberation from material contamination is the stage at which devotional service can be achieved. For a person who simply wants to have liberation and to merge into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, attachment to Krishna is not possible to acquire. This attachment is very confidentially kept by Krishna and is bestowed only upon pure devotees. Even ordinary devotees cannot have such attachment for Krishna. Therefore, how is it possible for success to be achieved by persons whose hearts are contaminated by the actions and reactions of fruitive activities and who are entangled by various types of mental speculation? There are many so-called devotees who artificially think of Krishna's pastimes, which are known as Ashtakaliya Leela. Sometimes one may artificially imitate these, pretending that Krishna is talking with one in the form of a boy, or else one may pretend that Radharani and Krishna both have come and are talking. So such characteristics are sometimes exhibited by the impersonal class of men, and they may captivate some innocent persons who have no knowledge in the science of devotional service. However, as soon as an experienced devotee sees all of these caricatures, one can immediately evaluate such rascaldom. If such a pretender is sometimes seen possessing imitative attachment to Krishna, that will not be accepted as real attachment. However, it may be said that such attachment gives the pretender hope that he or she may eventually rise onto the actual platform of pure devotional service. This imitative attachment can be divided into two headings, namely shadow attachment and para, transcendental attachment. If someone, without undergoing the regulative principles of devotional service, or without being guided by a bona fide spiritual master, shows such imitative attachment, this is called shadow attachment. But sometimes it is found that a person actually attached to material enjoyment or salvation has the good fortune to associate with pure devotees while they are engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. And by the good grace of the Lord, one may also cooperate and join in the chanting. So at that time, simply by the association of pure devotees, the moonlight rays from their hearts reflect upon one, and by the influence of the pure devotees, one may show some likeness of attachment caused by inquisitiveness. But this is very flickering. And if by the manifestation of such shadow attachment, one feels the disappearance of all material pangs, then it is called para attachment. Such shadow attachment or para attachment can develop If one associates with a pure devotee or visits holy places like Vrindavana or Mathura, and if an ordinary man develops such attachment for Krishna and fortunately performs devotional activities in the association of pure devotees, then he or she can also rise to the platform of pure devotional service. The conclusion is that transcendental attachment is so powerful that if such attachment is seen manifested even in some common man by the association of a pure devotee, it can bring one to the perfectional stage. But such attachment for Krishna cannot be invoked in a person without one's being sufficiently blessed by the association of pure devotees. Now, just as attachment can be invoked by the association of pure devotees, attachment can also be extinguished by offenses committed at the lotus feet of pure devotees. To be more clear, by the association of pure devotees, attachment for Krishna can be aroused. But if one commits offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee, one's shadow attachment or para attachment can be extinguished. This extinguishing is like the waning of the full moon, which gradually decreases and at last becomes dark. One should therefore be very careful while associating with pure devotees in order to guard against committing an offense at their lotus feet. Transcendental attachment, either shadow or para, can be nullified by different degrees of offenses at the lotus feet of pure devotees. If the offense is very serious, then one's attachment becomes almost nil. And if the offense is not very serious, then one's attachment can become second class or third class. And if someone becomes attached to the principles of salvation or to merging into the existence of the Brahma Jyoti, then one's ecstasies of either shadow or para attachment gradually diminish, or else transform into the principles of ahangrahopasana. This ahangrahopasana describes a living entity when one begins spiritual realization by identifying him or herself with the Supreme Lord. This state of self-realization is technically known as monism. The monist thinks him or herself to be one with the Supreme Lord. Thus, because one does not differentiate between oneself and the Supreme Lord, it is one's view that by worshipping oneself, one is actually worshipping the Supreme Whole. Sometimes it is found that a neophyte is taking part in chanting and dancing very enthusiastically, but within oneself, one is under the impression that he or she has become one with the Supreme Whole. This conception of monism is completely different from pure transcendental devotional service. However, if it is seen that a person has developed a high standard of devotion without having undergone even the regulative principles, then it is to be understood that one status of devotional service was achieved in a former life, and for some reason or another, it had been temporarily stopped, most probably by an offense committed at the lotus feet of a devotee. Now, with a good second chance, it has again begun to develop. The conclusion is that steady progress in devotional service can be attained only in the association of pure devotees. If one can gradually advance his or her status in devotional service, this is understood to be due to the causeless mercy of Krishna himself. If a person is completely detached from material enjoyment and has developed pure ecstatic devotion, even if he or she is sometimes accidentally found not living up to the standard of devotional service, one should not be envious of him or her. Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak Sadhur Eva Samantavya Samyag Vyavasatohi Saha. So it is confirmed also in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who has unflinching faith in and devotion to the Lord, even if sometimes found to be accidentally deviated from pure devotional characteristics, such a person should still be counted among the pure. For the unflinching faith in devotional service, the unflinching faith in Lord Krishna, and the unflinching faith in the spiritual master all together make one highly elevated in the activities of devotional service. In the Narsinga Purana it is stated, if a person has completely engaged one's mind, body, and activities in the service of the Supreme Godhead, but externally is found to be engaged in some abominable activities, these abominable activities will surely be very quickly vanquished by the influence of his or her staunch devotional force. The example is given that on the full moon there are some spots which may appear to be like pockmarks, but still the illumination spread by the full moon cannot be checked. Similarly, a little fault in the midst of volumes of devotional service is not at all to be counted as a fault. Attachment for Krishna is transcendental bliss. Amid unlimited volumes of transcendental bliss, a spot of some material defect cannot act in any way. Thus ends Chapter 18 of Nectar of Devotion, entitled Character of One in Ecstatic Love. Recorded January 30, 2021 by Nirantara Das. All glories to the author, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.